Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Today I just want to talk about something that really has been one of the major struggles, I guess if you want to call it that, in my own life that I've had to contend with. I'm a mother of three sons, like I said. I have three beautiful daughter-in-laws now. And as a result of being with the girls, this was an ongoing joke, but I meant it, at our women's conference. I run a women's conference. In fact, ours is just a week before yours, so we're back to back with each other. But I used to ask the girls every time, every year, please pray for granddaughters when I have grandbabies. So I had this secret little thing going on behind the scenes. And guess what? God has blessed me with two beautiful little granddaughters. One is three. Her name's Ruby. And then one is Bella Marie. And they are the love of our life. They are just gorgeous little girls. But my son actually got me aside after the last conference. He said, Mum, this year, please reverse the prayers. Because they're both his daughters. He said, I want a boy. So maybe you guys can help me out next baby. But you know, I find after 38 years of being a Christian, I'm 56 years old now, after 38 years of being a Christian, I find that I still have to remind myself from time to time of the things that I thought I already knew. Have I got any friends out there? And you know, that's a long time. That's 38 years of being a Christian. And you know, when I became a Christian, I had this incredible encounter and experience of God and His love. And I know that I'm loved by God. I know that God's called me. I know that God, and I'm talking about you as well, us. I know that He's called us with great purpose for our life. And then the enemy comes along from time to time, whispering in our ears saying, you can't, you won't, you're not. And if we're not careful, he catches us off guard and we listen to him. Instead of what we already know, and we forget what we thought we already knew, and we give in to his nagging voice in our head. Do you know what we think? Not what anyone else thinks, but what we think directs and governs our life. What you think about yourself today, what I think about myself, is actually determining what my tomorrow will look like. It's determining what my future will look like. What we think about ourselves today, in reality, is not because of what someone has said to us or done to us, but it's actually a result of what we think about ourselves or what we're allowing to believe in our own heart. I used to think like a victim because in the world standards, I was a victim. And I did a pretty good job of being a victim. But I used to think, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that, it's because this has happened that I'm like I am today. And I had to realize, you know what, Marie, you can't change what has happened, but you can change how you respond to the what. And we all have that ability. It's called choice. We can all choose to believe what God says about us, where God wants us to live, where God wants our thoughts to dwell, or we choose to live as a victim. And what we think or believe about ourselves determines who we will be or what our potential in God can be. When we really understand that, you know, it's why would we allow the enemy to stop us from fulfilling the potential that God has for us? And God's potential is always way above what we think today. We might think we're doing okay, but God's thoughts are way higher. Even if you are the most confident person today, God always is in a bigger place. It's more about what we choose to believe. God believes in us, but we need to believe him. Is that right? He believes in us, but do we believe him? No one else, and you know, this used to frustrate me until I really got it, but no one else but you and I have the power over the way we think about ourselves. My husband, well, he's actually written a book on insecurity, but it didn't seem like, I thought he was the most confident person, but deep down we're all insecure and we all have things that we need to work on, and I think we'll be doing that till the day we die. But the good thing is if we don't give in to insecurity, it can't rule us. We just got to stand in who we are in God. But I used to think, oh, well, he's going to help me. He's going to help me get the confidence. He's going to help me be who God wants me to be. He's going to be the one that's going to help me fulfill and reach the potential that God has for my life. And I had to realize one day, you know what? Unless I get it for myself, it ain't going to happen. Because no one else has the power over the way we think about ourselves. We are the ones that get to choose. Not even God can choose that for us. God wants it. God wants the best for our life. He wants us to fulfill it, but he can't make us believe him. He wants us to believe him. And when we do, we can have the life and the freedom that he destined for us to have. Proverbs 23:7 in the Amplified tells us, for as he thinks in his heart, in her heart, so are they. So is she or he. So what is your heart telling you today? Seriously, when we stop and think, who do you think you are? That's the title of the message today. Who do you think you are? Ralph Waldo says, and it's so true, what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Do you know the enemy knows the power of that statement? That's why he messes with our head, because he understands. If they don't get it, I've got a free battlefield here. I love that video clip, I am the storm. If we really, really got that, whoa, watch out, enemy. But we can't be any better than we decide to be. We can't be any more confident. We can't be any more bolder than we decide to be. It's all dependent on what we think about ourselves. Sir Edmund Hillary was the first man to climb Mount Everest, and he says this, it isn't the mountain we conquer, and he would know, it's ourselves. Ain't that the truth? It's ourselves. And we have to realize that we were deliberately planned, no matter how you came to be on this planet, you were deliberately planned by God. The Bible tells us that God knew you and I in our mother's womb. He knew all about us. He had a predestined plan for our life. He knew us before we were born. We were deliberately planned, specifically gifted, and lovingly positioned on this earth by the master craftsman. So what more do we want? We are validated by God himself. Do we really understand that? I have to remind myself of that from time to time still, because sometimes I forget what I thought I already knew. Ephesians 3:16-20 in the Amplified says this, and it's a great scripture to take away and meditate on so it drops from our head into our spirit. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is its breadth, length, height, and depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being until all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That's the Amplified Bible. That's a woman's version. That's a lot of words. But it's worth the read. What we believe deep down determines the course of our destiny. You know, our thoughts will take us on a destination, and we get to choose which destination that is. Whether it's God's or whether it's the enemies. So I ask the question again, and to myself, who do you think you are? Because when you know something, it changes everything. When you really know something, it actually changes everything. When you know that you're loved, that you're valued, that you're beautiful to Him, that you're here in the purposes of God, you will live your whole life differently. You won't live as a victim anymore. Your whole life will be lived differently. Your attitudes, your outlook to life will be very, very different. You know, we run a home back in New Zealand called A Girl Called Hope. And it's a home for young women that are caught in life-controlling issues such as eating disorders, depression, a whole lot of different things. And they come and live in this home for 6 months. And it's beautiful to see that partway through the program, they are taught life skills and tools in their hand to overcome the challenges that they've allowed dominate their life, the thinking that they've allowed dominate their life. So they're given good teaching and tools to actually apply and work out when they get out of the program. And partway through the program, the lights go on where they actually believe from their head into here that God loves them. And when they understand that, when those lights come on, everything changes. They're taught that, you know what, you can do it. You can decide to believe and embrace what God says about you. And when they do, if they do, when they leave the program, they can actually walk it out. Sometimes people forget and they need to be reminded, but they're stronger, and it's just beautiful to see that absolute turnaround in their life. But if you were to ask me today, what would I say? What wisdom would I give to my younger self? I would say, Marie, why didn't you believe God a lot earlier? Why didn't you believe what He believed about you a lot earlier? It would have saved a lot of heartache. It would have saved a lot of struggling. It would have saved a lot of comparison if you only believed what He said about you a long time ago. So I want to encourage you today to believe God. Do you know our self-worth is a gift from God, but our self-respect is something that only we can give ourselves. Actually accepting who God says we are and walking that out with your head held high, knowing that you are a daughter of the Most High King, that you are valued, that you are loved, that you're here in His purpose, on purpose. David Foster, in a book called No Mediocre Life, says this: the simple instruction of Scripture is to be honest in your estimate of yourself, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you in Romans 12:3. If it's wrong to overestimate yourself, he says, isn't it at least equally wrong to underestimate yourself? Because we haven't learned to balance pride and humility, the paradox of our time in history is that we can buy more but enjoy it less. We have more convenience but less time. More degrees but less sense. More knowledge but less judgment. More medicine, but less wellness. We've multiplied our possessions without adding to our worth. We've obsessed with making a living, but not a life. Medical breakthroughs have added years to life, but not life to those years. We've done bigger things, but not better things. We eat fast food, we suffer slow digestion and shallow relationships. In our quest to get the good life, we have two incomes, but more debt. Fancier houses, but broken homes. We take quick trips, use disposable diapers, possess a throwaway morality, and buy pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. All in a futile quest to get what we already have. Love. God's love. Ain't that the truth? When you know you're loved by God and you're here in the purposes and plan of God, you'll believe in the very core of your being who you are, which is a valuable, precious, beautiful daughter of God. You won't always be striving. That's why the world is always striving for something else, because they actually don't understand who they are in God. You know, when I was a young girl, I didn't know who I was. I was 18 years old, out of home when I was 15, actually. And I allowed other people to dictate who I was because I didn't know who I was. So anyone that came along, I allowed them to dictate to me who I was. Unfortunately, I got mixed with the wrong people and that had the wrong outcome. But, you know, basically I was asking them, do you value me? Am I valuable? Do you think I'm valuable? Because I didn't feel valuable. So I was asking all the wrong people, trying to fit into their value system, which was warped. I didn't realize that. I was just clutching at straws, wanting someone to think I was worth it. Unfortunately, I ended up down a spiral of drugs and a whole lifestyle that ripped my heart to pieces, looking for value in all the wrong places. Have you ever read that book? I forget what it's called now, but it's about a little duckling that was raised by some other animals, and he was going around to all these, are you my mummy? Are you my mother? Are you my... looking for identity with the other animals. Are you my mother? Well, I was like that little duck. Just a fragile little girl looking for somebody to value me. And we have to realize that Jesus Christ is God's statement of our worth. The fact that he went all the way to the cross, that God loved us so much that he sent his son so that we could understand our identity is not in what others think, but in who he is in our life, who he is to our life. E.E. Cummings said, to be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best to make you everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting. If you allow other people to tell you who you are, two things happen. On the one hand, people will underestimate your worth and value. On the other, they will overestimate what you can actually do, and neither is healthy. So true. So I just want to share three things today that I needed and from time to time still need in my life to get my thinking straight and know actually who I am in him. And I'm sure that we can all relate to either all of them or one at least of these points that I'm going to share today. But the first thing I needed to learn was to shut up. And I say that kindly. Stop the self-talk and listen to the God talk. That's the first big lesson that I had to learn. I had so much going on in my head that I was listening to. And it was destroying me. We have to learn the art of being quiet. Shutting the negative voices out and listening to the voice of God. I think self-talk is something that we all struggle with. And sometimes I don't think we realize how much we struggle with it. If we were to stop at the end of the day and collect our thoughts, how many times would we have said, oh, I'm stupid. I can't. I'll never. I'm not. They're better. Whatever. You know, psychologists say it takes 10 positive affirming statements to balance one negative made to us. 10 positive affirming ones. Half the time, we're the ones making the negative ones, never mind the ones that are coming to us from others or from the media, from what we watch. But we're our own enemies half the time, our own self-talk. It also says that 80% of our time is spent in our mind. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Or is it? Depends what's in our mind. 80% of our time. It can either be dangerous or it can be healthy. It depends what we're putting into our mind. Romans 12:2 in the NIV says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Message Bible puts it like this. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I love that. That's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of listening to it and accepting the Word of God. It can actually change you from the inside out. It's not self-help. It's actually God's help. And when God helps us, he can change us. He can transform our thinking. You know, sometimes people ask me what the keys to some of the things. I'll share it just some short synopsis of my testimony in a minute. But they want to know keys. And I was like, you know what? It may sound simple, but I actually took the word of God, and I still take the word of God, and I still will need the word of God till the day I die, and applied it to my mind until it dropped from my head to my spirit. The word of God is what's changed me, not people. I need people. I need encouragement. I've read lots of books. It's all good, but this is what changes us. And we've got to stop, shut up, and listen to the word of God. Philippians 4:8-9 in the Message says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, I love this, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. It's beautiful. Do you know the enemy understands the power of our self-talk? And that's where he dominates. And if he calls our bluff, he wins. He knows who you are. He actually knows who you are. That's why he's scared. That's why he keeps bombarding you and trying to put you off, because he knows. And he knows if you know, he has no power. But he knows who you are, and he wants to know if you know. And when he realizes maybe you don't understand your worth, he makes all sorts of accusation and lies, and he tries to oppress us and get us to listen to his destructive voice. That's why we need the word of God. You know, the shepherd boy David had good self-talk. When Goliath came to him, he knew who he was. So when Goliath came to him and said, "Who do you think you are?" he was able to say, "I know who I am. Who do you think you are?" And that's why he took him down, because he'd been listening to God. He understood who he was. He understood and believed that God believed in him. Our weapon against the enemy is the word of God, not our own striving to try and overcome, our own self-help. It's actually the word of God. Do you know, to have courage, it means to plant courage into. And that's what the word of God has done for me. When I've felt hopeless and weak and like I can't, the word of God has actually planted courage back into my spirit. It's actually what enables us to keep going. I know we need girlfriends. We need encouragement. We need each other. Absolutely. But the word of God is what, it does something in our spirit, and it changes everything. It empowers us with boldness, confidence, and courage to stand against the enemy. Do you know, it's something we all know. I'm not telling you anything you don't know today, but do we do it? Do we actually do? Because sometimes we forget what we thought we already knew. Yeah, we know that, but do we know it? Do we actually do what we need to do and listen to the voice of God? We need to read the word, know his word, not just read it, but know it. Otherwise, we are constantly being bombarded, and our weapon to shut the voices up is the word of God. Dr. Caroline Leaf, who is a neuroscientist, she says we can be our own microsurgeons, our own brain surgeons. How about that? Choosing to renew our minds on God's word. I believe that no matter what's happened to us, nobody is in the too hard basket in this room. Nobody can say, "But you don't understand where I've been." Because God does. And his word works for everybody. It's not like giving out, okay, I'll give it to her. No, it's for everybody. Every one of us are on level playing field in this room today. You may, you know, look at somebody and say, "Oh, it's all right for them." No, it's not. They've got to apply it to their life. So we need to shut up. Secondly, we need to speak up. We have to own the word of God for ourselves. Philippians 4:12-13 in the Message said, "I've learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. You know, I heard Reinhard Bonnke say one time at a crusade we were at, that the word of God in our mouth is as powerful as the word of God in Jesus' mouth. The word of God in our mouth is just as powerful as the word of God in Jesus' mouth. That's pretty powerful, and it's true. Confession of God's word out of our own mouth renews our mind from human perspective to God's perspective. When we feel weak, we have to remind ourselves and speak it out. I am strong. I can make it through all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I am the head, not the tail. We need to remind ourselves, but also remind the enemy. I can. I am. And we have to be quick to speak up, because the enemy's strategy is to contain us, to keep us small, to keep us weak, to keep us pathetic, to kill, steal, destroy, the Bible says. And we need to shut, he wants to shut our voice down. But we need to be women that know what it is to shut up, but also speak up and let the enemy know and put him in his place. Take charge with the word of God and your words. Do you know words are powerful? Our words are powerful. What comes out of our mouth is very, very powerful. When I was a young girl, I grew up with four brothers, like I said, and I had a happy childhood until I was about 10 years old. And one day I was at school, and my uncle came to the school. I went to a Catholic school, and he was talking to one of the nuns. I was actually in recess at morning tea. Do you know what morning tea is? Probably a break in the morning. We call it morning tea. We have a break and we play for half an hour at school, morning tea. It's a pretty stupid name, really. But anyway, we're at our morning tea break. And I saw my uncle talking to this nun, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. What's he doing here? Next thing, they call me over. And, you know, being the youngest and a girl after four boys in our family, I was daddy's little girl. I was daddy's princess. And all my identity was wrapped up in being daddy's little girl and daddy's princess. Because when you're young, your identity is in your parents. And he came to tell me that my hero, my daddy, had just had a fatal heart attack at work and was never going to come home again. I never got to say goodbye to him. I never got to tell him how much I loved him one more time. That was it. He was taken from me. And it broke my little heart. A year later, my grandfather, who was my mum's father, who became a substitute father to me, also had a fatal heart attack and died just like that without any warning. So my mother, a year later, was struggling in her heart. She was broken. She was an absolute cock case, to be honest. And you probably don't say that either, do you? Sorry. You'll have to just interpret my Australianism. I'm actually born in Australia but live in New Zealand. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Who cares? But details, schmetals. I don't have to tell the details. Anyway, a year later, my mum decides, do you know what? She went into, I had four brothers who she was trying to get them to be responsible and behave, and they weren't doing that. But anyway, she went in to wake them up one morning, and she just decided, you know, I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. So she overdosed. And fortunately, my brother actually found her in time, realized what she did, rushed her to hospital, they pumped her stomach, and she got put in a mental institution. And she was in there for quite a while. I got passed around to different people. But a lot of my time was spent with my grandma, and she had lost her husband a year before. So she wasn't in the greatest of places herself. But I remember walking. She didn't drive back then, and I used to have to walk to the supermarket with her. And I remember walking to the supermarket. She used to pull a little trolley behind her that she filled up the groceries with at the supermarket and then walk back home. We even, at her house, used to have a horse and cart come from the bakery with the bread in the back. That's how old I am. Or how backward Australia is. I don't know, whatever. But that was awesome. It used to smell amazing having this. Anyway. And I remember her talking, like, because she knew everybody along the way. She was a bit of a busybody, really, when I think about it. But she knew everybody. And they would actually stop. And it would take a long time to do the grocery shopping because she would stop at all the neighbors. And I remember her repeating to many people, "Oh, that poor girl." I was standing right beside her, "That poor girl." And she used to go like that, "That poor girl. She lost her father. She may as well have lost her mother now. That poor girl." And the conversation would go. And then we'd get to the next one, the next one, the next one. So, you know, it wasn't long before I started to believe, yeah, I actually am a poor girl. You're right, Grandma. I am abandoned. I feel abandoned. I feel rejected. And I carried an orphan spirit, that poor girl. Yeah, I am a poor girl. And as a result of that, I lived out a victim mentality. I'm not blaming my grandma. Circumstances happen, but I started to believe, yeah, you're a poor girl. You have a right to live as a victim because of all this stuff that's happened to you. And I had to really learn. I'm not just talking words off the top of my head today. I had to learn what it was to speak out the word of God and to choose life over those death words that were spoken over my life. And I had to own it for myself. Nobody else could do that for me. I had to own it. And that was a struggle. It didn't just happen overnight. It took time. I had a lot of stuff to work through. And I don't have time to talk about it all today, but I had lots of things where I had allowed, like I said, other people to dictate who I was. I was sexually abused when I was a young girl. In the drug scene, I was in relationships that I shouldn't have been in. Had things happen and spoken over my life that shouldn't have happened. So I have really had to learn what it is to stand and speak out the word of God over my life and believe him. But it actually works. When we really know what it is to shut up and speak up, then the third thing is we need to stand up and draw the line. We get to do that. Not my husband, not my friends doing it for me, but you and I get to do that for ourselves. Decide who you are going to believe once and for all. And I pray that's what happens today. If you're in a place of struggle today, it's not a condemnation from God. It's just like he's saying, come on, girl. Decide. You get to decide. I'm here. I got your back. I'm with you. I can do it in you. But change comes with personal revelation. We get to make the choice that we're going to live free by drawing the line in the sand. Deuteronomy 3:19 says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Life is a choice. We get to choose it. I get to decide who I'm going to believe. And I pray today that we decide that we're not going to give in to feelings of inadequacy, of smallness, of containment. But we choose life. We choose beautiful. We choose who God says we were created to be. And then be the best you that you can be. We're not called to be somebody else. Why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we spend our life comparing with other people? If God wanted you to be your girlfriend, the girl next to you, he would have made you her. He didn't. He made you you. I remember hearing Christine Kane tell the story of how in her 30s. I think she's about to turn 50, so it was a little while ago. But she'd lived 30-something years believing that her parents that lived in her home were her parents. And just by chance, I think her brother wanted to go overseas, so needed his birth certificate, and he found out that he was adopted, came to tell her that he was adopted, and she had no idea at that stage she was adopted too. And then all of a sudden she realized in the conversation she was having with her brother, oh my gosh, maybe I'm adopted too. And a whole long story, she found out she was. But this is what she said. I remember her saying she had in her hand black and white paper saying child unnamed, unwanted in one hand. In the other hand, she had the word of God that said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I purposed and planned for you to be here. And she had a moment where she had to choose, who am I going to believe? And you know, at that point, people can believe and become a victim and maybe feel I deserve recognition as a victim because I am. Or you can choose life and choose what God says. That he knew the specific purpose she was designed to fulfill, and he provided the gifts, talents she would need and the environment required to enable her to fill and fulfill her God-given purpose on earth. Do you know sometimes life tries to rob us of our confidence? And I can concur with that. It's in my life. Nobody can tell me, you don't know what it's like. I know what it's like. That's why I can stand boldly and say God's word works, because I know what it's like, but I know what it's like to have that change me. We are the ones that gets to decide not to stay and remain a victim. We have to draw a line in the sand and believe that God created you to be a somebody, not a nobody. You know, people thought David was a nobody but he knew he was a somebody. And that's why Goliath went down. He didn't feel like an insignificant little shepherd boy that nobody knew, nobody cared about. He knew he's God. He knew God valued him and loved him and had destiny for him. And the enemy went down. I'll never forget this till the day I die. A lady came to see me. She was our children's pastor's at the time, her mum. And her mum had found out, she was in her late 50s, that she'd had an inoperable brain tumor. And she had read my story. I have a book about my testimony. And she read it. And she apparently cried all the way through it and asked if she could please come and see me. I hadn't met her before, but I have to say she was probably one of the most emotionally detached people I've ever met in my whole life. Really shut down. She had had she'd had a hard life, abused on many levels, physically and mentally abused. And her words to me, sitting in front of me, she said, I never knew that I could choose not to be in this place I find myself in today. I didn't know I could choose. That's what she said to me, this 57-something or other old lady. I'm not saying she was an old lady because I'm 56. 57-year-old. I just want to define her. No, 50 is the new 60. A new 30. It's not old, okay? It's all in your head. But I never forget her words to me. She said, the difference between you and me is I'm still living as a victim because I didn't know I had a choice. And it broke my heart. She had tears rolling down her face. And that day she decided, I'm going to believe God. Within 2 months, she'd gone to be with Jesus. But she lived those last 2 months of her life free. And I'm just so grateful that I got to meet her. Because it reminds me, please believe. Don't wait till then. Maybe you've had, maybe there could be people in the room today. Actually, would I be able to have the keyboard? I'm sorry, I can't remember what your name is, but Elisha, is he here? Just back. Thank you. Great name, by the way. What was I going to say? Maybe you've had in here today a partner walk out on you. And you've allowed that to define who you are. Maybe you've had a friend disappoint you. Parents who didn't value you. Someone that let you down. Maybe you've been abused. But I want to encourage you today, and I pray that you get this in your spirit. Don't allow those circumstances to define who you are. Allow the Word of God. Choose life and the freedom that He already predestined for you to have today. You get to choose that. You have to settle in your heart, like Proverbs 31:10 says, that you're a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, and you are far more precious than jewels, and your value is far above ruby or pearls. The Bible says it. We need to believe it, not just in our head, but in the very core, in our heart. Do you know, the core of who I was very damaged when I was a young girl. It was ripped out from underneath me. And for many years, it was a weird feeling. For many years, even when I got married, I was 22 when I got married. And I used to say, I remember saying to Paul, I feel like a little girl on the inside. I'd look at all these other girls, and they weren't that much older than me. It's not like they were mature 50-something-year-old women. They were just as young as me, but they were, some were having babies, some were buying homes and whatever they were doing in their jobs. And I was like, I just feel like a little girl on the inside. I couldn't put my finger. I was like, why do I feel like a little girl? And I realized that the stuff that had happened to me as a young girl, my emotional state had frozen at that point. Because up until that realization, I hadn't allowed God into that space to heal me, to get into that place and allow His love to take the place of the pain and the hurt. And it was like I hadn't caught up to my adulthood, if you understand what I mean. And God has had to take me on a journey to grow up and grow into who He created me to be and to accept the value that He placed on my life. To know on the inside, I've had to harness my self-talk. So like I said, this is not just words. This is what I've had to do. And I wouldn't be standing here today if I hadn't been able to do it. Harness my self-talk. Speak out the truth as a weapon against the enemy and stand up and decide who I am. I get to draw the line and believe God's word. And then I've had to be committed to the process, because it doesn't just happen overnight. Don't beat yourself up if you find yourself. Sometimes I used to think, why am I back down here again in my thinking? And then I just like, okay, doesn't matter. Put yourself back up. Get the word out again. Confess the word again. Decide again. And then one day you'll look back and think, oh, I don't think like that anymore. I don't behave like that anymore. God has done something in me, because He's the one that can change us. Let God be the one that defines who you are, which is beautiful. Each and every one in this room today, precious, valuable. He values you. He loves you. And you're a daughter that is destined for greatness. Do you know, it's probably, I think this year in our conference is the 17th year that it's been going. And there was the first year, I was telling Pastor Jess, I'll never forget the first year, where I'm a reluctant leader. I am not like, hey, pick me. I'm just not like that. That's not my personality. And I had all the broken stuff to work through along the journey. But I'll never forget when God encouraged me to step out in faith and believe that He wanted me to start this conference. It's like, God, are you kidding? I've been brought up with all these boys around me. I don't know how to do this. At that stage in my life, to be honest, I was very independent. I didn't feel like I needed girlfriends in my life. And I was wrong. It was just that I had a survival mentality from necessity. I left home at 15 and I was just trying to keep my head above water. But I've realized the value of girlfriends in my life along the journey. But at that stage, I didn't understand. Anyway, I don't have to tell you all the details. I stepped out in faith, and I'll never forget the room full. I turned around in worship, women with hands raised, tears rolling down their face. And God said, Marie, this is not about you. It's about the generation behind you. You have to get over yourself. And you know what? There's a world out there that needs you strong, needs you believing God, needs you being courageous so that you can say, you know what? God actually works. God can change you. God loves you. And when they see it working in our life, they will believe Him. When they see His love being outworked in us because we believe and accept it, then they can believe God too. And so I just want to encourage you today. That's the thought I want to leave us all with today. Realize, you know, your healing, your drawing the line is actually not really even about you, although it is. It's about more than you. It's about those that are still yet to come into the kingdom. Those that have lost hope. Those that feel like they can't. And they look at your life and say, well, if she can, I can. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.